From KYW News Radio 103.9 FM, this is Bridging Philly, connecting our communities on the issues that matter to you. Presented by Gift of Life Donor Program. Organ donors save lives.
Hello, I'm Raquel Williams. Welcome to Bridging Philly. The inequities in school funding in Pennsylvania is front and center, and the Commonwealth is attempting to right the ship. A recent court ruling declared Pennsylvania's current school funding system is unconstitutional, and with the state apparently sitting on billions of dollars in surplus funds, the move is on to fully fund schools. We talk with State Senator Vincent Hughes and Priyanka Reyes-Khura of Children First to get to the bottom of the issue.
How do our lawmakers design a system where every school district is getting enough so that they can allow the educators to do their best and the students to do their best?
Jared A. Howard visits a Philly favorite community hotspot.
I love being surrounded by books and coffee and good food and good vibes and good people.
All that's coming up on Bridging Philly.
This is Bridging Philly from KYW News Radio 103.9 FM.
We recently spoke with an organization about galvanizing the youth vote, and one of the topics that surfaced, and this was actually from a young high school student, I asked her what were some of the more pressing issues for teenagers who are about to go to the polls for the first time. One issue that this young woman brought up was school funding. She says the buildings are in horrible shape. They're crumbling. All the tools that they need are not there. But in more affluent areas, there seems to be more than enough of everything, and that the experiences can literally be night or day.
We're not receiving the adequate funding for even the basic things that we need to learn in school with the funding. We're not getting the right and proper teachers in our buildings that are being able to adequately teach us the lessons that we're being taught. We are receiving teachers that are specialized in English that are now teaching our history courses and our science courses. They're not able to teach us the right material with the skills that they are taught to teach. We're not receiving the right funding when it comes to basic materials in our classroom, leaving our teachers to scramble to get the materials for us versus a school being able to provide it for us.
That was kind of heartbreaking to hear from a high school student about the state of education and funding in Pennsylvania. So we wanted to really dive into this subject. So joining me today is Pennsylvania Senator Vincent Hughes, who last year proposed the largest and most equitable education budget in PA history. We're going to dive all the way into that plan and the plan that Governor Shapiro proposed in his new budget and get all of the details. Also with us is Priyanka Reyes-Khura. She is K-12 Education Policy Director for Children First. Welcome both of you to Bridging Philly.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
All right. So as I say, before we jump into the funding, let's talk about the state of education in Pennsylvania as it stands now.
This was an interview about Abbott Elementary.
No, right, it's not okay, an interview right, about okay, Abbott. Okay, I mean, right, we can certainly right, talk about right, Abbott Elementary.
I was just checking. Okay.
Let's talk about the state of education in Pennsylvania as far as funding and the disparities that exist. I'll start with you, Priyanka. How would you describe Pennsylvania's school system currently?
Well, taking it back to Abbott Elementary, Bradley Cooper was on and he had a line where he said, Philly schools are criminally underfunded. And I just sat there nodding. It's not just Philly schools, it's schools across the Commonwealth that are underfunded. And, you know, you could say legally underfunded. At this point, we've had a court case, the Commonwealth court case last February ruled that our schools are constitutionally not meeting what we would call adequacy. They're not serving our students. And this is the year that we need to change that. So what it looks like when you go into an underfunded school might look different, whether that's a urban, rural, or suburban school. But some of the things you might see in Pennsylvania schools right now would be facilities and buildings that are not suitable for learning. You would see mold. You would see, you know, pests. There might be asbestos. There is lead. And then underneath the surface, you might see really large class sizes. That's because our schools don't have enough teachers, enough support staff. You might notice that some students are struggling because they don't have the curriculum that they need to support their learning needs.
Senator Hughes, how would you describe it?
It is probably the civil rights issue of our time and all times. The denial of a quality, equitable education, which should be a constitutional right, is how you keep communities down, how you do not allow them to be mobile, how you do not allow them to fully contribute to the broader society, the broader community. You deny communities of that education. And so the court ruling that came out on February 6, 2023, after a 9-year trek and an 800-page decision, is an affirmation that something we all knew. I represent a district of the haves and have-nots, if you will. Mm-hmm. I represent the folks in the Colonial School District. You can probably think about it as Plymouth White Marsh High School, okay? I used to represent Upper Dublin in Montgomery County, and I represent, of course, significant portions of the city of Philadelphia. I've taken tours with legislators where I show them the suburban district and its brand new buildings and its meteorological center. Listen to me now. That can track lightning strikes in a 300-mile radius where the kids graduate from there and they track themselves to places like Penn State or other universities because they've learned about meteorology.
In a high school.
In a high school, mm-hmm. Okay? Wow. There's like about 8 30-inch flat-screen TVs on the wall tied to their computers,
wow.
What have you. And at the same day that I took legislators in the morning to see that, I took them in the afternoon to one of the most famous high schools in the country, Overbrook High School.
Okay.
It was where Guy Bluford graduated, the first black astronaut. Obviously, where Wilt Chamberlain graduated from. And the history book, the science book in the science room in this trip in 2016, 2017, was published in 1998. And they had no running water in the science room. And so a fully funded education system creates opportunities for every child to learn because every child learns differently. We all learn differently.
Right.
And so what you want to have is an environment where you're touching every child where they are. That's happening in a discriminating fashion in Pennsylvania. It's been like that for generations.
Yeah. Answer this question for me, if you both could. Is this by design?
Of course it's by design. Okay. Of course it is. It's absolutely by design. So again, the history of discrimination and funding, the history of oppression in funding education should be well known. In the Jim Crow era, if you were caught teaching a black child, all right, you were fired, jailed, or maybe killed. Okay? Frederick Douglass's story is one where he got a little bit of education and then it was found out by his slave master that he was getting an education and his teacher gone. Okay? When Brown versus Board of Education was decided, one of the immediate offshoots was the immediate dismissal of thousands of black teachers and black principals and administrators in schools all across the country and replaced by individuals with less experience, less capacity, less degrees, less everything, mm-hmm. but summarily fired. And why this opportunity which is in front of us now to begin the process of fixing it is really a test for us as a community, but especially as a legislature. Do we have the moral capacity to fix this? Because we certainly have the finances in the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania with huge budget surplus, record budget surplus. Do we have the moral capacity to solve this problem once and for all?
Priyanka, at Children First, obviously these are trends that you stay on top of and look at and propose different solutions to this. Just talking about, how this started, we are so far away, so far removed from Jim Crow era, yes? I understand what you're saying, but you would think that at this point we would be in a place where this wasn't so obvious, put it that way.
So I agree, in the education system, everything that we do is by design. I'm a former teacher myself, and we learn about how to design a lesson that can reach and motivate students. But one of the things that when you're a teacher in a classroom, you might not be able to have access to is the way the policy is designed. Mm-hmm. So how do our lawmakers design a system where every school district is getting enough so that they can allow the educators to do their best and the students to do their best? This is the first year where we have a governor who is in a second part of his first year budget, as he called it, where he has proposed a historic investment in our schools. And we have this historic court decision that our lawmakers have to now respond to by totally changing the way that our school funding system is designed. We have every single reason to do that right now with the budget that we pass in June of this year.
Okay.
Bridging Philly continues in a moment. Back to Bridging Philly, connecting our communities on the issues that matter to you.
Senator Hughes, I know originally that you had proposed $3.75 billion to fully fund schools. Talk about how that kind of evolved into what Governor Shapiro came up with and decided on.
So we came out in early 2023 with a major budget proposal of well over $3 billion to be driven into our education system to deal with the issues of equity and adequacy, to deal with the issues of investments in teaching, investments in early grade learning, all right? It is a crime that the numbers are so low with respect to our children not learning at grade level by fourth grade. We know this: what happens when a child is reading at grade level by fourth grade, the rest of their academic career soars. All the research shows that. We talked about investing in our school infrastructure to have children and their teachers and everybody that works inside the school building walk into a school building where it is literally raining inside the building. Okay, not just outside the building, raining inside the building. If you follow me on social media, that's one of my lead things. You see the video of the rain coming in the shop room on the electrical equipment. I've toured schools all across the Commonwealth. Business school in Allentown. The school was built in Reconstruction in the 1870s. I visited a school in southwestern Pennsylvania. They took me down into the sub-basement. The backup generator for this school was a car engine, and I have the photographs to prove it. Wow. You heard me? When the building superintendent, you know, the guys that work magic, just keeping everything running, this is 2016. His computer system running the building was Windows 95. And the schools have rodent infestation problems, all right? And you tour the schools and they have droppings all over the place, all right? And our teachers who are doing heroic work in an environment without the resources, you know, creating these diamonds and gems out of our children, just turning them into special people, are being asked to do this. They're underpaid. You can't find enough of them, okay? People don't want to enter the profession. So that's a long response to the budget situation. The 2024 budget, the proposal that's in place is built upon the court decision, the hearings from the Basic Education Funding Commission, which established kind of like 14 locations all across, over 90 testifiers. Children First was one of the testifiers, all right? So we established this record. And so now the governor, in a historic fashion, he met the moment by introducing his budget proposal that is a huge down payment on trying to fix this incredible tragedy that exists in the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania. And again, it goes back to the legislature to challenge us. Are we going to step up to the moment? Mm-hmm. We have a huge budget surplus in Harrisburg.
Yeah, talk about that, because I, you know, I've been reading that you're sitting on a mountain of money.
So we have $14 billion in state surplus. And I've been doing this for a while. It's the largest that it's ever been. It's built up over a number of years. It's also a response to an economy that is doing extremely well, because Pennsylvania is not the only state in the country that has huge budget surplus. So we got $14 billion in surplus. The governor said in his budget address, if you respond to this moment and put in the extra $1.1 billion into our education system, we'll walk out of here the end of June 30th when the budget is done, budget's wrapped up, and still have $11 billion of extra money to do further investments in the next budget cycle. This is the time you make these investments because they will manifest themselves in the out years. We've got a teacher shortage. The number of teachers graduating with teacher certificates has dropped over a 10-year period by about 71%. Mm-hmm. We've got to respond to that. We do the extra spending, create better environments for our teachers to work in. They'll want to be there. Create an environment where we can attract more folks to the profession, pay them better.
Yeah.
All right? They'll want to stay.
Right. You know, I'm thinking of this whole situation, how you describe the crumbling schools and the school being powered by a car. Politics aside, this is a human issue. I mean, who wouldn't want your children, the children who are and I don't want to sound cliche, our future, from having an adequate and decent education, no matter what zip code they live in. Is there pushback?
Well, we have some work to do as advocates and as community members to make sure that not every lawmaker is a champion for this, like Senator Hughes, and we thank you for your leadership. But many of our other lawmakers do need to hear more from us, from students, from teachers, from concerned community members, because yes, there will be some resistance to investing in children, as crazy as it is to say that. There is a lot of bipartisan support for many of the initiatives that will support students. And there is work to be done to make sure that every lawmaker hears from their community members. Mm-hmm. Because the truth is, the proposal to fund our schools will support every single Senate district, every single House district in the state. And we need to keep the focus on what that will really mean for students. One of the areas where there's additional bipartisan support is when it comes to cyber charter payments. So some of the money that we can use to pay for funding our schools can come from just saving money that is currently being dumped into cyber charter schools. Last year, our cyber charter sector was sitting on a surplus of $250 million. And so there is a part of the governor's proposal this year is to standardize the tuition rate. Right now, if you opt into attending a cyber charter school, you'll pay a wide range of different tuitions based on what school district you live in, mm-hmm. even though you're going to the same website mm-hmm. and attending the same online courses, and there's no school building to pay for. So there's a common sense sort of bipartisan agreement that we should standardize that rate across the state, and that'll save us $262 million that can go into our schools that really desperately need them.
If we fund at the level that we should fund at, then there's less pressure on local property taxpayers. Mm-hmm. Because that's usually the thing that's had to make up for the underfunding is an increase on the local burden, especially for communities that really can't afford it. That senior citizen, individuals like that who are on fixed incomes.
Mm-hmm. Currently, is it local that contributes the greatest percentage to schools?
In Pennsylvania, yes, but not in every state. It doesn't have to be that way. Right. And a big part of the problem why we see the haves and the have-nots in Pennsylvania is because of that over-reliance on local property taxes, where there are many communities where the state can and should be stepping in more than it is. And as a result, local property taxes are very, very high, unaffordable for many residents. And that's something that the court case found as well, that this system of the state's share of funding being lower than it is part of the problem. And that is why it is the state's responsibility to redesign that.
PA schools currently over $6 billion underfunded. This budget proposal that was put forth, enough to make a decent amount of change.
It is a huge, so the Basic Education Funding Commission, when we released our report, basically called for a 7-year fix. Mm-hmm. Okay. You can't fix it all overnight, except all of that money all at one time.
Right.
You know, you have to hire people, you have to train people, you have to do everything. So you have to fix it over time. It's going to take a continued effort and a continued push.
Senator Hughes, why don't you quickly just give us a breakdown on what the funds are going to be used for in terms of, you know, teacher retention, buildings, structure, things of that nature?
Most of the funding in the governor's budget proposal goes to deal with this issue of adequacy and equity. It goes to deal with taking those, we call them the William Penn school districts, okay? That cohort of school districts that filed the lawsuit years ago. Most of the funding goes to propel them forward.
Okay.
Remember, we're under a court order to deal with this. We're not leaving out every school district. Every school district is going to get something. But we have to fix what the court told us must be fixed.
Right. How long before we start to see significant changes? I mean, obviously, it's not going to be overnight. And this is a multi-year plan. How long before we start noticing and seeing things changing for the better, do you think?
I think in some of our most underfunded school districts, if they receive the year one of the 7-year plan this school year, you would see changes right away this school year. You would see things like superintendents able to hire the staff that have been missing, vacancies like teachers, counselors, student support professionals. That would make an immediate difference next school year. And I wanted to contextualize some of the numbers, too, that Senator Hughes was sharing, because I know a lot of people listening are here in Philly and surrounding area. So that adequacy and equity money that he was referring to will go to lots of school districts in our area. In Philadelphia, over 7 years, if we are able to enact this plan, the district will receive over $7,000 per student more than they have right now. In Chester Upland, that number is $8,600 per student. In Norristown, $6,300 per student. In William Penn, over $6,000. Southeast Elko, Upper Darby, Coatesville, Bristol Township. We have lots of underfunded school districts right here in our backyard that are going to see very meaningful differences if and when we can enact this budget increase.
I ask a principal, what would you do with an extra $4 million coming into your building? I could get a nurse. Mm-hmm. Not just one day of the week. I could get some counselors. I could get adequate supplies and supports for my teachers. I could upgrade my books. I could bring in reading specialists. I could, mm-hmm. I could realize the dreams that I've had when I entered this profession. Most people go into teaching not for the money.
Right.
They go into teaching because they love it when the light comes on in a child's brain and you can see it. Mm-hmm. We have all had that experience. And then the mind just starts turning and turning. You get into this profession for that.
Yeah. Yep. You talk about that light. And I talked about the fact that the impetus for this program was from speaking with a young high school student who was talking about, the issues in school. And she will be voting this November, and we're going to be graduating a lot of new voters. And I understand Children First has a youth advocacy program because that youth voice is extremely important because they are the ones experiencing it. Can you talk about that a little bit?
Absolutely. Yeah. So our youth advocacy program is called Justice in Education, and we are working with students from across the Philadelphia region, Philadelphia, Bucks, Chester, Delaware, and Montgomery counties, to come and use their voice because ultimately, and correct me if I'm wrong, Senator, but I think that the people who have the most compelling stories, who have the most ability to change hearts and minds, are the students who are currently, unfortunately, experiencing these school conditions.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you're a young person listening to this, or if you are someone who works with young people, I encourage you to go to our website, childrenfirstpa.org, where you can find more information about that youth advocacy program. And we'll be doing all kinds of things to take your talents and help you use them for positive change this year.
Okay. And Senator Hughes, any final parting words on this issue?
I those listening who care about this issue, did you make a call to your legislator? Did you make a call to your senator? Did you ask your chamber of commerce if you're a small business or a big business? When they ask the question, what is it they need a better educated workforce, okay? You want to reduce crime? You want to make the community safer? Give our kids an opportunity to do stuff. And they won't turn to this foolishness that's going on that's disrupting our community. It is the central thing that can transform our society for the good.
Mm-hmm. Well, we'll continue to keep an eye on this and check in periodically, and hopefully we'll be able to see some changes made as things go along. Pennsylvania Senator Vincent Hughes and Priyanka Reyes-Kara, thank you so much for both of you lending your voices and time here on Bridging Philly.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And now a Bridging Philly Extra. Reggae music icon and legend Bob Marley had at least 11 children. Stephen Marley is the only one who was born in Wilmington, Delaware, and he received the key to the city this week. We venture to One Love Park for the ceremony. It's located across the street from where Stephen lived for a time and was dedicated to Bob Marley's memory. Bob also lived there for a short time with his mother, Sadella. The day was vibrant, beautiful, and sunny, filled with beautiful people, reggae music, and good vibes. Sandwiched in the crowd was a very humble Stephen Marley, who was all smiles, taking selfies with fans, signing autographs, and spreading love. I managed to squeeze my way through the crowd and asked him what it felt like to receive the key to the city of Wilmington.
I'm very emotional. I'm very honored to be recognized. I was born here. And it means much to me. The community means much to me. I'm a family big, you understand? So
the fact that you're the values of your father, one love and togetherness and unity, the fact that Wilmington, Delaware is recognizing this, what does that mean to you that his legacy is lasting so long and you're carrying it out, you and your brothers and family?
Such a great honor, you know, and there's no better way to honor him than his morals, his beliefs, and, you know, what he stood for. So it's a great honor, you know?
Thank you so
much. Enough love. Thank you, ma'am.
Yeah. Sure.
The reignited popularity of the Marley family has soared since the biopic Bob Marley, One Love, was released in theaters last month. The spirit of love, joy, equality, and peace was felt at the ceremony. Stephen Marley, the 8-time Grammy Award-winning recording artist, is currently on tour with his brother Damian Marley as they continue their father's musical legacy.
Bridging Philly continues in a moment. Back to Bridging Philly, connecting our communities on the issues that matter to you.
Uncle Bobby's Coffee and Books in Germantown is owned by local journalist Mark Lamont Hill, and it's named after his uncle. The shop's become a neighborhood beacon for those who appreciate the latest book titles, community conversation, and a good cup of coffee. Let's find out more with Shara in the city.
Uncle Bobby's, yeah, this spot.
Uncle Bobby's is the vibe.
All right. At first glance, Uncle Bobby's looks like your average bookstore, cafe, whatever, right? But when you open that door, it feels like...
It definitely don't feel like any old coffee shop. It's definitely like a nice space to be in.
Peace, calm, serenity, and always community.
Oh, I love it here. It's a great vibe. Black owned, number one.
I love the vibe. The music was good. All right, they had me at good music. I'm sold. You know we had to go. We went to Uncle Bobby's Cafe and Books on 5445 Germantown Avenue, and Van, who runs the shop, greeted us at the door.
Hi, welcome to Uncle Bobby's.
All right, Van, so I need the 411. Uncle Bobby's is a spot. Yeah. I need you to show me why. Yeah, so she took me on a tour. We passed sweatshirts, t-shirts, pins, of course, books, the cafe, which was just all the way live, and then children's book section, history book section. There was poppin' music the entire time. The soundtrack was phenomenal. Then we found a little quiet spot so we could talk and really get the 411 on what makes Uncle Bobby's that place, you know, with the vibe. And then there's this little nook in the back for people who don't want us in here right now.
Exactly. It's a sort of quieter space back here where folks can get some work done away from the sort of like louder music that we play over here.
It's a little loud, but I love it. I love it. It's a party.
Exactly. I think it depends on the day, on the vibe, and it's so beautiful today. We wanted to bring that
so
in a little bit.
So you come into Uncle Bobby's, and what's the vibe?
Well, I think the vibe is like vibrant and colorful and lively, very comfortable.
Right? Comfort's important. Yeah. And then also a good latte. So what you got?
Well, my favorite right now is the Matcha Madness, which is a matcha latte. Iced is my preference, with mint and vanilla.
So self-explanatory.
Exactly.
I think a lot of people have been describing this feeling.
Yeah.
Like, how would you describe it? When they come in, what do they see? What do they feel?
Well, I think you feel, running the risk of being dramatic, I think you feel like you have a little bit of like freedom, excitement to see like folks just vibing, just like excited to be in conversation, excited to be around books. Like, I think like with our displays, what we're trying to do is just switch things up, right? You know, we're in Women's History Month right now, and the women that we're trying to highlight are like Black trans women who are writers, some of our activist ancestors, radical Black feminists.
So you're calling on people to come in and learn something.
Absolutely, yes.
And Marissa from West Philly, she agrees. She comes to Germantown for the community and, of course, a good drink.
This is definitely a vibe. I mean, you come, I get my tea, I sit in the like cozy red chairs near the door. You gotta sit in these ones. But I mean, if you want the nice sunlit view, definitely sit up front at the entrance. And then you got the quiet area in the back, but I like being loud, clicking away on my laptop, so I'ma sit in all the hustle and bustle, because you might run into somebody you know, which happens all the time when I come.
Every time.
Then I ran into Gary Mills and Nicole. They were just hanging out having a coffee. Turns out, Gary's been doing some really good work with youth in the community.
And then with me, you know, doing a lot of business out of here with my organization.
What does that mean? You're going to have to tell us.
Shoot Basketball's Not People is the organization that I have.
We know you.
Yeah, so I do a lot of meetings out of here. I love this place.
I'm talking about. We got celebrities coming through. You don't even know.
Hi, my name is Nicole White. I do real estate in the city. This is my first time at this spot, and I just love it.
What would you drink?
It was a vanilla ice coffee. It was so good. Like, it was so fresh, the almond milk. Yeah, I'm a big foodie in the city.
So this was a place to go. Did you hear about it from other people?
After I visit, they said something about it. So now everyone's coming this weekend. Like, oh, yeah, I got to go to that spot. But yes, this weekend. Yeah, that's what they're saying. But yeah, definitely it's going to be a staple of mine. Very chill. I love the vibe. The music was good. I'm very happy. For Philly, for us, you know?
Yo.
All right, Selena, so it's the Vibe Why.
This is everything. I love being surrounded by books and coffee and good food and good vibes and good people. The first time I came in here and got my coffee, tried my coffee, the barista that usually is here, she's not here today, but she is awesome. Listen, I just moved back to Philly like a month ago, and I couldn't find a spot, and it was driving me crazy. And then my friend was like, you should go to Uncle Bobby's. And I was like, Uncle Bobby's? Came in, and now I'm hooked. They got me.
So what's special about Uncle Bobby's? What makes it the spot?
The books, the baristas. Like, I love, they're really friendly, very inviting, very welcoming.
It's community.
Yes, yes. The vibe is everything. It's everything.
We talked to some first-timers, and now we got to talk to some regulars. And really, honestly, what does it all add up to? What's the vibe? Jamel? From Germantown, who comes every day because he says it feels like home.
It feels familiar, but also new because you've been in coffee shops before. But the essence of, like, even the totems or symbols around you, even being in Germantown, you feel new but familiar. So
that thing.
Yeah, that thing, yes. I mean, the vibe is, like, homegrown, appropriate, Black-owned. So I'm in the neighborhood anyway, but if not, I'd make a point to be in the neighborhood.
I think Jamel's onto something, but Van, I think she summed it all up.
What people feel most excited about when they come here is to see themselves represented in some form in, like, the books that are on the shelves, in the faces behind the coffee bar, which is unfortunately, like, a rare opportunity for us as Black people to, like, walk into coffee spaces and for there to be Black baristas.
Or LGBTQ.
Absolutely, yeah. I think that's the desire for this space, is just to show folks that they're welcome here. Yeah.
Well, you can't argue with that. So Uncle Bobby's, 5445 Germantown Avenue off Church Lane. Just look for the huge circular sign of a man's head with yellow glasses. You really can't miss it.
Thanks for joining us on Bridging Philly, brought to you by Gift of Life Donor Program. Register as an organ donor at donorsone.org. That's donors, the number one, .org. For Charity Howard and our producer, Patty McMahon, I'm Raquel Williams. Be well.